When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is draft season. Welcome to the show, everybody. John Schmoke, Tony Pauline with you as we head on a train fast for 2024. It goes fast, but we'll carry you. Now, as we officially start to get into the year of the draft in 2024, our final show of 2023. Tony, how was your holiday, my friend?
It was outstanding, but it was a little bit quick. You know, you get all prepared for it and it comes by and it's gone in a blink of the eye. I hope all the viewers out there who enjoyed their Christmas, their Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever they're celebrating. But thank you for asking. The Pauline family had a lot of fun and had a lot of food and festivity.
Yeah, Santa was very generous for the kiddos in the Schmoke household. Did not have a chance to watch as much football as I would have liked over the couple days because obviously a lot of family going on. You can only keep kind of one eye on the television. And now heading into the New Year's, Tony, we got a whole lot of college football coming your way. So why don't we start here? And I think the one disappointing part of this bowl week are all the great players that we're not going to see in some of these games, which are a bit watered down.
It's not just great players. I mean, it used to be guys that were going to be first-round choices, top 60 picks, decided to opt out of these bowl games to prepare for the draft. And you understood it to a point. Now it's guys who are late round picks, potentially guys who are going to fall out of the draft. Austin Reed, the quarterback from Western Kentucky, who, you know, at best is a sixth or seventh round pick. He sits out of his game in a nice minor bowl game, really for no reason to prepare for the draft. So, you know, it goes from the early reaches of round one to guys who may fall out of the seven rounds who are opting out of these bowl games to prepare for the draft, which is sad because, you know, it used to be that the bowl game was sort of a reward for a good season, for playing well, especially these guys to cap off their senior seasons. And you just see so many of them opting out to prepare for, you know, what to be being selected in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. I can understand it with the early guys. You see some of the injuries, the few injuries that have happened in the past. We just learned before we started the show that Marvin Harrison is going to opt out of his bowl game. I understand it. Ohio State's not playing in the playoffs. Their starting quarterback is not there. Marvin Harrison is going to be a top three pick. So in some instances, you got to understand it. In other instances, it just waters down the game, like you said, and some head-scratching decisions.
All right, so let's go through these bowls kind of day by day here, and then we'll finish off with the two college football playoff games, which, of course, are going to be a big deal on New Year's Day in about a week. We touched on the games on the 26th already last week because that's the day that this is day before this is going to air. So there are four games on the Wednesday, December 27th, Tony, of the Military Bowl between Virginia Tech and Tulane, Duke's Mayo Bowl between North Carolina and West Virginia, the Holiday Bowl between Louisville and USC, and then the Tax Act Texas Bowl, everyone's favorite bowl game. Who doesn't like taxes between Texas A&M? At Oklahoma State, your thoughts?
You know, the Holiday Bowl is usually a good game. It's usually a big contest. Now, Caleb Williams is not playing in that game, but Ashton Gillette, the big defensive, or she's not really big, the explosive defensive tackle from Louisville, who was a menace to opponents this year, projected as a day two pick. He is not only playing, but he has stated that he's going to return to Louisville for the 2024 season. So he sort of bucked the trend, probably got a nice big NIL deal. It's going to be, you know, watch for number nine in that game. Tulane, they got a couple of defensive backs to watch. Jarius Monroe, a guy who people don't talk about. He's got excellent size. He's got real good ball skills. not the fastest guy in the world, but Monroe has been a favorite of mine. If he gets drafted, I should say, if he runs well, if he tests well before the draft, I could see him falling into the late rounds. A guy who comes to play and a guy who's constantly making positive plays when the ball's in the air, Jairus Monroe of Tulane.
And there was no Drake May, obviously, in that North Carolina, obviously, West Virginia game. I don't think they're big wide receivers playing in that game either, right, Tony?
Yeah, Quiz Walker, he's also opted out. He was the one that he was off the field, on the field. You know, the NC2A couldn't get their story straight. They finally let him play. And when he got on the field, he was pretty big, turned into some big production, came through big for North Carolina. He's decided to opt out of the game, and he's going to prepare for the NFL draft. I believe we're going to see him in Mobile at the Senior Bowl.
Curious to see what his testing numbers are, because he looks like a real big kid on tape. Curious to see how fast he eventually runs at the NFL Combine. All right, let's jump to Thursday, December 28th. You have the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. You know, when I think Fenway Park, I think Wasabi, Tony. That's SMU and Boston College. You have the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. That's one that is at Yankee Stadium. Rutgers and Miami. So you got two local teams there, Boston College at Fenway, Rutgers at the Pinstripe Bowl. They try to set it up. A lot of times Syracuse gets that Pinstripe Bowl. You have the Pop-Tarts Bowl, NC State and Kansas State, and then you have the Valero Alamo Bowl between Arizona and Oklahoma. Anything jump at it to you from these four games?
I think that Pinstripe Bowl is going to be well attended. I mean, a lot of Miami alumni in this area, the New York area, and you got Rutgers, who's having a real good season. I mean, Rutgers, Kyle Manege, the running back, has said he's already coming back for the 2024 season. Give him credit for that, because I think he was an early day three, maybe day two pick. You got to watch Max Melton, who's already decided to enter the draft. I know that their linebacker, Tyreen Powell, who's had an arm injury, has decided he's going to go back. So I think Greg Schiano is in good straits for 2024. Had a good season this year. Most of his guys are coming back. But all those three guys, whether they're going to be in the 2024 draft or 2025 draft, are legitimate NFL players. The NC State game, Peyton Wilson, who I believe we'll see at the Senior Bowl, has already said he's not playing in the game. Peyton Wilson, that's a shame. The guy has been he plays like his hair's on fire in the last 3 years. He's constantly around the ball making positive plays. Three-down linebacker. When you watch Peyton Wilson on film, he grades out as a day-two pick. Medicals are a big issue for Peyton Wilson. He's had some shoulder issues, has had some knee issues in the past. He's opting out. Derek Van, I haven't read that he's opting out. So Derek Van, the big defensive lineman, wears number zero. He's a guy who constantly penetrates the line of scrimmage. We talked about him with Bruce Feldman in one of the first shows of the year. He's on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He hasn't had the season I think people expected, but he's still a difference maker up front. Solid day three selection if he's in that game. Derek Van from North Carolina State.
Yeah, guys, I want to apologize ahead of time if we do have some of these guys that we have are wrong on in terms of who's opting and who's opting out. Needless to say, the information on this is often cloudy. You'll have multiple reports saying different things about certain players. So we're doing our best here, but obviously watch the games and we'll see who does in fact play. But Tony's obviously on top of this more than anyone out there. So Friday, December 29th, Tony, you have the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, Clemson and Kentucky. In a Southeast rivalry there, ACC and SEC. Oregon State and Notre Dame, that should be a fun one, two good teams. And then the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Memphis and Ohio State. What from these three games jumps out at you?
Well, I mean, you look at the Notre Dame game, Joe Alt, who's going to be a top 10 pick, has already opted out of that game. So that kind of puts a damper on it as far as NFL prospects are concerned. I believe Cam Hart, who's going to be at the Senior Bowl, I believe he is still, I have not heard that he's opting out. But, you know, as you said, I mean, literally 50 minutes before we started the show, Marvin Harrison announced that he's going to opt out. So that's what you want to keep an eye on. Clemson versus Kentucky. Clemson made some news with their safety, Andrew Mabuco, deciding he's going to transfer to Texas. They've had a bit of a disappointing season. Devin Leary of Kentucky, guy to keep an eye on against that Clemson defense. North Carolina State transfer, did not live up to expectations, has been hot and cold, which is why Kentucky, I don't think, won as many games as they should have this year, but still a solid day three selection. Keep an eye on him in that game.
All right, let's jump to Saturday, December 30th, Tony. Now we're getting into really the meat of this year. Just a couple games on the 30th. The Trans Perfect Music City Bowl between Auburn and Maryland. And then you have the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl between Toledo and Wyoming. I know Toledo, I think they have a big corner, right, that a lot of people love?
Quinton Mitchell, who's going to be a day two pick. He's moving up draft boards. He's been a good player for 3 years. He's been on my board for 3 years. He goes about 6'2". He goes about 200 pounds. He's got excellent ball skills. He's got decent speed. He's a guy that's tough to scout sometimes because teams don't throw his way. But when they do, it's usually a pass defense, if not an interception. He's been, like I said, he's been good for 3 years. Some people say he's a little bit stiff. I don't buy it. He can play in zone. He can play in man. He can play off the ball, backed off the line of scrimmage. We're going to see him at the Senior Bowl. And those one-on-one drills that John and I like to watch during Senior Bowl practices, those are going to be real big for Mitchell, because if he can stay downfield with opponents, with the speedy receivers in those one-on-one drills, he's going to cement himself as a day two pick. Some people have him as a top 45 selection. Again, with him, it's going to be testing numbers and how he does going against that top competition. I believe the Peach Bowl, Ole Miss against Penn State, is also that Saturday, December 3rd. Jackson Dart of Mississippi, it looks like he's going to be returning to school in 2024. I think he's a very underrated quarterback going against what is usually a very good Penn State defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump to Monday, January 1st here. The Relia Quest Bowl, Wisconsin and LSU, and then you have the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl between Iowa and Tennessee, Tony. What do you like from those two matchups?
Well, I mean, can Iowa score more than 3 points in that game? I mean, the Iowa defense is real good, although, they don't have a lot of top prospects except for Cooper DeJean, who's been injured, so he's not going to play. Tennessee, again, I mean, not like last year, basically middle-round choices, maybe a couple day-two guys. LSU, Wisconsin, I think that's a game where you're going to see a lot of pounding and grinding on the offensive and defensive line of scrimmage. I think both teams were, at least Wisconsin was disappointing. LSU was not with the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, who we're not going to see in that game. We don't know if we're going to see him at the Senior Bowl. It's going to be a top 15 pick. He's had a sensational season. But again, you know, we talked in the beginning about how these bowl games are often watered down by all the guys that are opting out. I think the LSU-Wisconsin game, picture perfect. Wisconsin running back's not going to play in that game either, and he's headed for the draft.
How about the two LSU wide receivers, Tony?
I mean, Neighbors is fantastic. I'd be shocked if Neighbors plays in this game. I think it'd be nice to play in a game. I don't know. It's a big deal, especially with Jaden Daniels not throwing on the ball. He's a guy who is a big play threat. He's going to go top 20. I think it's a situation with Malik Neighbors where the faster he runs, the earlier he's going to be selected in the draft. And he could end up as a top 12 pick. He is definitely the second rated wide receiver after Marvin Harrison. We'll have to wait and see, what his pre-draft, what he does in the lead up to the draft.
All right. And then ESPN had to separate it out as they have a separate section for the New Year's Six Bowls. I'm not sure why, but that's how they did it. So I'll run through these here, Tony. You mentioned one already, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl on December 30th, Ole Miss and Penn State. You have the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic on Friday the 29th with the Missouri and Ohio State.
I mean, Ohio State, the game's watered down. Their starting quarterback left. Is in a transfer portal. Marvin Harrison's opting out. There's one of their top running backs is gone. Missouri's a good story. I mean, Schrader, the quarterback, has done a terrific job. Schrader, the running back, has basically moved himself into draft position. He's a guy who nobody talked about going into the season. You now look at him as a third round choice. Tyrone Hopper of Missouri, I believe he's not playing in that game. I think it's due to injury, though. And Hopper's a guy who's potential day two selection, the linebacker. So it'll be a good game, I believe, from the Missouri point of view. I don't know that Ohio State's got a lot to play for. And again, they're going to be basically playing with a new receiver without Marvin Harrison and without some of their better running backs.
Liberty Bowl on January 1st, Tony. Liberty, shocking. And this is the Fiesta Bowl, Liberty and Oregon in that game. And I wonder how many of these Oregon players are going to play in this contest.
Probably next to nil. I mean, we're still waiting for a few decisions from some of the guys. Birch, the pass rusher. Obviously, I'd be shocked if Brandon Nix, he's already decided, I believe, he's opting out of the game. So, I mean, Liberty is a great story. Liberty's undefeated this year. They absolutely deserve this invitation. You look at them. Let me just pull up my list here. Liberty's got two real good players to keep an eye on. They got a cornerback. Real quick, they got a cornerback by the name of Kobe Singleton and an offensive lineman by the name of Xavier Golden, Both are day three picks, but both are next level players. They're guys who could develop into starters. Singleton is more of a dime back. Golden was a left tackle at Tulsa, who's also played right tackle, who projects as his own blocking guard. I think Liberty is really who wants to make a statement in this game. They've got some solid pro prospects. But again, it depends on who shows up for Oregon that game.
Yeah, we'll see if Franklin, their wide receiver, plays. If Nix isn't going to play, I'd be surprised if Franklin did. But we'll see how that rolls out. Then finally, before we get to the playoff games, Tony, you have the Capital One Orange Bowl, Georgia and Florida State. Who do you think we're going to see in this game? I guess the one guy I'll ask you specifically about Florida State is Keon Coleman.
Yeah, but again, who's throwing the ball? I mean, Travis Jordan's injured. Their number two quarterback just decided to enter the transfer portal. So they're going with the freshman, who I believe threw for 55 yards against Florida. I mean, Keon Coleman, a lot of places, or there were some scouts that have him graded as the number two receiver on their board ahead of Malik Nabers. I don't agree with it. I like Keon Coleman. But again, we've talked about it multiple times prior to the show about he's a bigger receiver. He's a contested catch guy. How is he going to separate at the next level? It'd be nice to see him at the Senior Bowl for 3 days of practice. But again, you know, with the situation at the Florida State quarterback position, I don't know how many balls or what their passing attacks are going to be like.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the college football playoffs, Tony. These games are not going to be watered down because everyone's playing because he seems to try to win. So let's start with Alabama and Michigan first. Obviously, the Michigan guard, who I know a lot of people thought might have been the best guard in the draft, he hurt his knee. He's not going to play in this game. Alabama has some players you like. Who are the guys you kind of are circling and keeping an eye on in the Alabama-Michigan game?
You know, when you look at it from a pro prospect point of view, Alabama's top heavy on this game. If you look at the board, Alabama has the better talent. But as we've spoken about before, Michigan plays just great team football under Jim Harbaugh. Obviously, you start with the two Alabama defenders. Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, who's also a terrific off-the-ball linebacker, very explosive, very athletic. Kool-Aid McKistry, the cornerback, top-rated cornerback on my board. I think both of those guys are going to be top 12 picks. And then you got Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, who's on the other side of Kool-Aid McKistry. He's going to be a first-round pick. The one guy that sticks in the middle there for Michigan, in between there is J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, who, if he enters the draft, is also going to be a first-round pick and will have to go up against Turner, against Kool-Aid McKistry, against Arnold to move that Michigan offense. You look at J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama. We've talked about him before. Plays right tackle, very fundamentally sound, strong, powerful, but he's 360 pounds. How is he going to play 360 pounds at the next level? Blake Corum of Michigan, who's doesn't have great height, doesn't always look the part, but he's just a phenomenal football player. You're looking at a day two pick there. You mentioned Zach Center, Jermaine Burton, the receiver from Alabama. Chris Jenkins, I mean, he's played with a high ankle sprain this season. There's sort of a love-hate relationship. There are some people who love him. There are some people like me who are not that high on him. Is he a conventional defensive tackle? Is he a defensive end? Is he a three-technique tackle? A lot of day one and day two talent here. But when you stack up the board, the best talent at the top comes from the Alabama Crimson Tide. So Michigan, like they did last year against TCU, is going to have their hands full, even though they're the favorites.
Yeah, I'll throw Chris Braswell in, right? Another player on Alabama's defense that is probably going to be either a late day one or more likely a day two pick.
Just one thing on Braswell. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
I actually wrote a story about it last week. And I'm told that Saban had a conversation with Braswell, and he told Braswell that most of the information he's getting back from the NFL right now is that Braswell is a late second round, third round type choice. But if he goes back and capitalizes upon this season, which has been really good for him, he's going to be a first round pick in 2025.
He could basically be like Dallas Turner is this year, that type of player. Right?
And I'm told that right now it's Braswell is leaning towards returning to Alabama because he wants to go back, knock the ball out of the park, and be a first-round pick. And credit to Saban, because Saban is very honest with his guys, and he tells his guys, if you're going to be a top 20 pick, go. I mean, you can't wait. With Braswell, I'm told the information he's giving him is he's more second half of day two. If he goes back and has another year, he could basically really improve his draft stock.
Yeah, and Tony, look, we know how Michigan wants to run the football, right? Alabama's traditionally, they have so much size and beef, and they have a good front on defense. And I have no rooting interest in this game for who I want to win. So I hope this Alabama front slows down that Michigan running game. So we actually see J.J. McCarthy have to throw the ball more than like 16 times in this game. I want to see what happens if they have to open it up a little bit and McCarthy has to put this Michigan team on his back a bit in this game. And I want to see how he does in that situation.
And I think he can. I mean, he's got two really good receivers out there in Michigan. He's got Roman Wilson, who's returned from the injury. He's got Cornelius Johnson, the big, tall guy who's he's been a little bit hot and cold, but he seems to be putting it together. I think he's going to be a solid day three pick. I also want to see Jalen Milroe. I mean, Jalen Milroe to me is a guy who's, you know, his game is on the upswing. He's already committed to coming back to Alabama in 2024. And Milroe is one of those guys that if he keeps playing better and better and better, you're going to be talking about a very early pick in the 2025 draft because you have a big athletic firearm thrower who is developing into a passer.
He could almost be on that Jaden Daniels trajectory, right? The way he kind of took the step up this year. And that would, I think, be the path for Milroe, though obviously it wouldn't be 5 years for him to do it. But absolutely. It should be a fun game. I'm looking forward to seeing those two teams go at it, which I don't think necessarily might not be the most aesthetically pleasing game, Tony. I could see it being, you know, a lot of running, a lot of low scoring, but I'm curious to see how that game works out. Then finally, you have Texas and Washington. Now, this game, I think, is going to be the opposite. Yeah. I think there's going to be fireworks. I think these teams are throwing the ball down the field. You got a bunch of wide receivers. You got two quarterbacks. That, you know, we'll see if, you know, the Texas quarterback comes out. If he does, he'd be a relatively high pick. You know, Penix will probably be a day two, maybe early day three pick, depending on how people see him, likely day two. I think this is going to be a fun game with a lot of passing.
Sort of like the previous game where the board was top heavy with Alabama prospects. When I look at my board now, it's Texas prospects. Five of the top six players, as far as next level players on my board, come from University of Texas.
And the only one is probably Adunzie, right, from Washington?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. And, you know, funny thing on Ewers is I was told last week that Ewers is going to go back to Texas for another year. You have Mugabe, the safety from Clemson, who's transferring there. I was told last week it's basically about 80%, if not higher, that Ewers is going to go back to Texas, which tells me he's got a heck of an NIL deal. And, you know, he's got some offensive linemen coming back, but he's going to lose a lot of his weapons.
Yeah, two wide receivers and their tight end, right?
And the tight end, right. Jatavion Sanders, JT Sanders, who I believe could be a late first-round pick, is a guy to watch. He's very athletic. He wins out for the contested throws. He shows the ability to get downfield. Ewers, who, you know, he's a Kenny Stabler type. He's a gunslinger. Sometimes he's a little bit slow pulling the trigger, but when he's on his game, watch out. AD Mitchell from the Georgia transfer, who's just a phenomenal receiver, not the fastest guy, but he's sneaky, gets it downfield. I'm told he's going to enter the draft. And Xavier Worthy, who's a home run hitter, a little bit small, loses out for the contested throw, doesn't show the strong hands. I think he's a second round pick, but he's explosive. He can take it the distance anytime the ball's in his hand. And then sandwiched in between there is Rome Odunze. I mean, the big receiver from Washington who, even though I say, well, he's a contested catch type, is he going to be able to separate? He just produces for Washington. And he just comes through for them in the big spot, really helped carry that receiver core when Jalen McMillan was injured and has done a great job catching the ball from Michael Penix, had that big run late in the season against Oregon. Against Washington State to put Washington in a position to kick the game-winning field goal. Just a lot of talent here. They got two terrific offensive linemen, Troy Fatanu, the left tackle who projects the guard, Roger Rosengard, who's the right tackle, who was a big, strong, mobile offensive lineman. I mentioned McMillan. I think he's going to have a big day. Penix, who's going to get a lot of conversation both ways, a lot of debate, a lot of opinion about his game moving towards the NFL draft. I agree with you. This is going to be a real fun game to watch.
Yeah, it really will be. And I think McMillan, Tony, who you mentioned, missed a lot of time with injury this year. If he can come out and if they win this game, have a couple really big games here in the college football playoffs, I could see his stock really pointing up as well, depending on how teams want to take a look at him. So a lot of good bowl games, folks. There's your guide, everything you need to know. And then, of course, we'll talk about the national title game when we know who's playing, when we record next week's show on January 2nd. So make sure you go check that out. We have some more Twitter questions. We also have some more Senior Bowl announcements. Tony, I know you said you had a couple transfers you wanted to hit first, right?
Well, the only one was the guy I already mentioned, Andrew Makubu of Clemson, who, if he had entered the draft, and the signs were, or the opinion was he was going to enter the draft, he would have battled to be the first safety selected in the draft, probably somewhere in day two, maybe late second round, early third roundish. I think he surprised a lot of people in the sense, and the fact that he's decided to go from Clemson to Texas as a transfer. Got a huge NIL deal, but I mean, that's what he's comfortable with. I think that kind of surprises people, and that hurts a safety class where we're not going to see any player from that position selected maybe until the third round starts.
I know, Tony, we have a couple Senior Bowl announcements and commitments here. It was a quiet week. I don't think a lot of people were doing stuff on the week of Christmas, and now between Christmas and New Year's, I imagine it'll be similar. And then we'll start having a rush of some of these, you know, guys coming in, guys going out after the bowl games and the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as we move forward here. But a couple of those recent Senior Bowls, guys that have committed to the game. Let's start with Charles Turner III, the LSU center, Tony. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Turner a lot. I like him more than most. I actually have him rated as a day two pick. He is an explosive, mobile guy. He's probably going to go in the fourth round, even though I have a third round grade on him. He's good at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. He can get out to the second level. He can adjust. He can block on the move. He's a smart, heady guy. He's very, very good. The question is, what's his actual size and strength? Is he a zone blocker? Is he a power gap guy? He's just a real good football player on my board.
All right, then we have Jordan Whittington, wide receiver from Texas. This is one of the Texas wide receivers we haven't talked much about. So tell me about Jordan Whittington.
Which is a shame because he's a terrific receiver. He doesn't have the speed of Worthy. He doesn't have the size of a Donnie Mitchell, but he's a guy who knows how to get open. He's a guy who catches everything that's thrown to him. He gets up in a crowd, sacrifices his body to make the reception. He's a day three pick who I think will be very productive as a fourth receiver return specialist at the next level. He's not going to run in the 4.3s. He's not going to jump 38, 39 inches. He's just a real good football player, and I think we're going to see that. He's going to be one of those guys at Senior Bowl practice that just makes some spectacular receptions, and people are going to be like, where did that guy come from? But that's what he's done throughout his Texas career. It's just that, you know, he doesn't have the great size and speed like some of the other guys that are in that pass-catching unit for Texas.
Yeah, it reminds me of the way you describe him, and I haven't watched him yet, reminds me of the way we kind of talked about Puka Nacua after that first day at the Senior Bowl last year. Now, he is a little bit more size. He's a bigger kid. But, you know, not super fast. But he just literally, Tony, and I wish he would have – I think he got sick, if I'm not – I think he had got, like, the stomach flu. He had to sit out the last 2 days, where if he would have stayed healthy that week, he had a great first day. Then he kind of disappeared. He had an injury history. You know, everyone talks about, how did teams miss on Puka Nacua? No, it was pretty easy to, based on, you know, his production in college just wasn't great because of all those injuries. He only had the one day at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, it's guys like that when they have an opportunity to kind of show what they can do. If they can, it'll really help their draft stock.
Yeah, the thing with Nacua is I believe he also had a concussion at the Senior Bowl, which is
one of the reasons why. Thank you.
But he wasn't super fast. I mean, he was a 4.5 guy, which is what Whittington is going to be. So, you know, they want the speed, they want the quickness, and those guys that are just real good football players. I talked about one of them before, Corum, the running back from Michigan. You know, he's not going to wow anybody with his testing numbers, but if you watch the film, you know, like Whittington, like Nacua at BYU, you know, all they do is make plays whenever the ball's in their hands or whenever their number is called.
Exactly. All right, one more Senior Bowl invitation was accepted. Offensive lineman Delmar Glaze from Maryland, Tony. What can you tell us about him?
Offensive tackle. He's a guy who I liked off of his junior film of 2022. He's got some upside. I don't think that he played at a consistently high level, or he didn't develop his game the way I thought it should be developed. I think he's one of those guys at the Senior Bowl where he's going to play multiple positions. He'll play left tackle. He'll play right tackle. They'll move him into guard. Guard could be his best position at the next level. He's got a bit of upside, but he's got to consistently play at a high level. I was at the Ohio State game. I watched him. was not impressed with them against some of those, some of those Ohio State pass rushers, although those Ohio State pass rushers can make anybody look bad. He's a guy that's got a lot of good upside, and the Senior Bowl is a good showcase for him to show that his game is moving north.
All right, let's get to some more questions here on Twitter, and then I'll put another tweet out at some point next couple of weeks, and we'll try to solicit some more. And then we'll go very quickly go through Tony's mock draft over at Sports Kita. We don't have the draft order yet, so we'll kind of mess around. Once we have the full start of the draft, or maybe Tony and I will do a mock draft ourselves as we the NFL playoffs start. At least we know the order of the first, what would that be? First 20 picks in the draft. So actually, now with 14 playoff teams, it would be first 18 picks in the draft. So we will do that as we get after the NFL regular season here. Our buddy Charlie wants to know if there are any University of Maine players draft worthy. Tony says not this year, Charlie. Sorry, though. I'm sure you'll find somebody to call us up about. Cliff Leibowitz and All Things Giants wants to know who are the best pass blocking guards in the draft and guards overall.
Obviously, I mean, it depends on what type of guard you're looking for. If you're looking for a power gap guy, you're looking at Cooper Beebe of Kansas State. Zach Zinter was one of the top-rated power gap blockers until his injury. Brandon Coleman, the tackle from TCU, is probably going to be a day-two pick. I mentioned earlier, Troy Fanatu, the left tackle from Washington. There are some scouts, some area scouts that have him graded as the number one guard. He's more of your zone blocker. Graham Barton, who I know John likes a lot, the left tackle from Duke, who's going to project the guard, is going to be at the Senior Bowl. He's more of a zone blocker. There are some decent blockers really starting in day two. I don't think anyone's going to end up in round one, but there's a good mix of power blockers as well as zone blockers. A lot of college tackles who project to guard. I think the big question is, where does Zach Zinter fit in with that late season injury, the broken leg against Ohio State? You're looking at a day three pick right now, but still with Cooper Beebe, with Brandon Coleman, with Fatanu of Washington, with Graham Barton of Duke, there'll be some good players there at the position.
I wonder if Fatanu thinks that, if a team out there thinks that they can try him at tackle first, and then right. Guards kind of like, all right, fine, we'll put him at guard. I wonder if he might be able to sneak into the end of that first round, Tony. I think that'd be the only guy that I think has a shot at it.
Senior Bowl guy. I mean, that's the type of guy that's got to show at the Senior Bowl. 6'3.5", 322 pounds. How long are his arms? What's his testing like? He plays very athletic, although I'm told he's probably not going to run, under 5.15 in the 40. Not that that means a whole heck of a lot for offensive linemen, but you watch him on the move. He's exceptional. I think, there are only certain teams that want their left tackle to be under 6'4". If you don't mind your tackle being 6'3.5", just as long as he's got long enough arms, I mean, you may try it with him. And I agree with you. I mean, I believe that if a guy is a real good college left tackle and he fits all the metrics as far as height and arm length, leave him at left tackle until he proves otherwise. I mean, listen, the Jets have a problem at left tackle. When they tried Elijah Vera Tucker there in 2022, he did a real good job before he got injured.
Yeah, just let him fail, right? I mean, just
exactly.
It's such a premium position. If the guy can do it, just let him fail into guard, and then that's fine. I'm with you 1,000%, Tony.
Absolutely.
Next question, this one from Emilio. If you're looking for a quarterback, Tony, that you want to be a really accurate thrower that can put it into really small areas and squeeze it in there, how confident are you that Jalen Daniels can be that type of tight window quarterback if a team does not want to draft somebody, and this is me quoting the person asking the question, Emilio here, that just quote-unquote wants to run around?
I think Jaden Daniels has shown that at times. He shows great pass placement and the ability to put the ball where only his target can come away with the reception. But I don't think he does it on a consistent basis. I think you get it. Sometimes he gets the ball gets away from him. His passes can be all over the place. He benefited from real good receiver play at LSU, just like the receivers at LSU benefited from Daniels improving his game and playing at a high level. I understand what the questioner is asking. I mean, I love those guys that have great pass placement on a consistent basis. Jaden Daniels shows it, but he doesn't show it consistently. He's definitely not one of those guys that just runs around. I mean, he is a passer, but there is room for improvement with his pass placement.
All right, I want to get to your mock draft here, Tony. You can check it out at sportskita.com, where Tony publishes a lot of his work. Not a ton of surprise early. I'm not going to go pick by pick here because obviously the draft order is going to change. You saw a lot of movement there this week as well. That's something we'll talk about on next week's show too, kind of where the NFL stands in terms of draft order heading into that final week as teams start to solidify exactly where they're going to pick. Caleb Williams, no surprise, first overall, May 2nd, Marvin Harrison 3rd, not a surprise. Olufashanu at 4, not a surprise. One thing I'll throw out here, Tony, you have Dallas Turner going in front of Joe Alt, which I thought was interesting.
You know, I said in my write-up about the Bears, you know, Braxton Jones has been playing better football for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, he's played well there. You're right.
And you know, would they forget about, you know, is Jones the future? Is Alt the guy they bring in? I considered Alt there, but they also have a need for a pass rusher and an edge rusher. And the tackle class, the offensive tackle class, you can get some good players in day two. So I thought that Dallas Turner, the way Braxton Jones has been playing, was a better fit. And if they want to address the left tackle position later on, they can. I can understand Joe Alt going there. I mean, if you're going to take Caleb Williams, you better be able to protect him. And Joe Alt would be a guy who could protect the new quarterback, assuming they move on for Justin Fields. But I just thought that Braxton Jones, he's playing better and better for the Bears.
And you do have Caleb Williams going to the Bears. So I wonder if that could also be maybe a trade down opportunity, Tony, if they want another wide receiver to go with DJ Moore and the quarterback. So something to keep an eye on there with the Bears obviously having their own pick in Carolina. They have a lot of draft capital. You wonder how Ryan Poles is going to try to use that. You have Cooley McKinstry going in the top 10 as well. Brock Bowers at 8. I'm sure you haven't graded higher than that, but obviously position is strength takes a factor into there. You have your man Johnny Jerzan Newton from Illinois at number 9. I know you love him. We've talked about him a ton. Then you have Jaden Daniels sneaking into the top 10 at number 10, Tony, going to Atlanta. I think that'd be a good fit for him.
Yeah, I mean, Desmond Ritter's not the answer. He's all over the place. Go back to the question that one of our viewers asked. I mean, Desmond Ritter is definitely not a guy with good pass placement, not a very accurate quarterback. Jaden Daniels would be a good fit there. And I mean, Jaden Daniels is a guy you can build that franchise around.
Absolutely. Jumping out of the top 10 now, you have Malik Nabers going number 11. Again, he's your second wide receiver off the board. I think that's about the draft range for him, Tony. I agree. I think maybe starting at 8 and then kind of going down from there. You have him at 11. Tyler Guyton is your next offensive lineman off the board after Alton Fashanu at number 12. Chubb Robinson, I'm sure it pains you to wait so long to take him off the board, but you managed to wait till 13. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back-to-back with Jared Verse, another pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, sometimes it gets a little bit difficult. Obviously, you know, the order has already changed. But I think with New Orleans and Seattle, they would want an edge rusher. The Denver Broncos, we'll have to see what they do with Courtland Sutton. They have an out in that contract if they have an out. And remember, you know, Courtland Sutton is not Sean Payton's guy, so Sean Payton's going to want to start to bring his own guys in. Maybe he brings in a bigger receiver like Adunze. So, again, you know, it's just part of the process. You try and fit the needs with the best players available at this point.
And I really like this next group of players to round out. You only did the top 19 here because we're so early, and again, draft order is going to change and stuff like that. So you have number 15, Rome Odunze. I think that's right in the wheelhouse for him. Nate Wiggins, he's your second corner off the board to the Steelers at 16 in this particular draft. I love Wiggins. I would not be surprised if he's the first corner taken. J.J. McCarthy getting in at number 17 to the Minnesota Vikings. And they try to figure out the future post Kirk Cousins if they don't bring him back. My favorite pass rusher in the draft, Latu Latu, who is from UCLA. Remember, he did have to medically retire, so medicals would be a big deal for him. And then finally, you have Talisi Fuaga at number 19, who, again, is a real good mover at right tackle, but also powerful from Oregon State.
Fits a need with them with the Rams. You know, the Bucs with Latu, like I said right there, I mean, Latu's a superior player, and he's outstanding on film. But the medicals will dictate where he ends up in the draft. And the medical's not going to be the same for each team. There will be some teams that are fine with his medicals. There will be some teams that flag him. There will be some teams that fail him. So it's just a matter of
Be off the board for teams. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. It's just a matter of the right team that needs that sort of pass rusher off the edge, you know, giving Latu the thumbs up and saying, hey, it's okay that we select this guy early in the draft.
Tony, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye as we kind of head in towards the last 2 weeks of the NFL season here?
Well, no, I mean, it's going to be we're going to be loaded up on college football for the next couple of days, which is good to see. I hope we see some good games. Hope we see some good performances from prospects, not necessarily the first or second round prospects, but guys that are going to go in day three of the draft.
Yeah, and right now, by the way, you kind of have a top four in the NFL draft, which is Carolina going to Chicago with 2 wins, Arizona with 3 wins, and Washington and New England both with 4. New England better be careful because they play the Jets one more time. They might win that 5th game and knock themselves out of the top four. Right now, 3 teams have 5 wins and 10 losses with the Giants, Chargers, and Tennessee. Then you have a couple teams with 6 wins and the Bears and the Jets, you mentioned one this week. And then you got a million teams with 7. So, Tony, this is going to be really tight for some of these teams heading into the final couple weeks to see who wins enough games to kind of push themselves maybe in or out of that area where you could draft one of those top 2 or 3 quarterbacks.
Some very expensive wins, if you will. You know, the Patriots. I mean, Bill Belichick doesn't want to lose. Bill Belichick doesn't want to go out in New England as a loser. Bill
and Belichick, Tony, especially if he's not going to be there next year, what does he care about the draft pick?
He's probably interviewing for his next head coaching job, if in fact he wants a next head coaching job. And what those wins do is it basically knocks New England out of the conversation, out of the potential to select Drake May, you know. Now Washington's up in that position. It's going to select a quarterback. The Jets, you know, they pull a win out against the Washington Commanders. It means absolutely nothing. Now they're out of the conversation to get the much needed offensive tackle. So, I mean, no team is going to tank. These players are playing for their livelihood. They're playing for their contracts, either continuation of the existing contract or free agent contract. The coaches are playing, you know, for their livelihood, for their futures. No team wants to lose. Some teams may mail it in, may try not to get injured, but no team's out there to lose. But some of these wins can be expensive as far as draft positioning.
We'll keep an eye on it as we continue right here on draft season. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas and whatever holiday you celebrate. Thank you for being with us. We will see you next time on draft season.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.